Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we were taught that regardless of what we have heard or read on the subject, the Bible is the final authority. So please follow as we continue that thought today. There are those, as a matter of fact, I went to a Christian college where one of my professors taught this. Other Christian colleges have taught the same thing, that Matthew 19 is talking about betrothment, or the same thing we would call engagement. If that's the case, Jesus said they shall be one flesh. Jesus would be teaching premarital sex. And Jesus did not teach premarital sex. So I do not agree, and I understand where those people are coming from, but it's wrong. Okay, so I just wanted to lay that out at the beginning so you know where I'm coming from. Now, in the last year, I've had more people than usual come to me about the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I was hearing things, and I heard so many things of people's philosophies. I thought of adding another book to the Bible called Shammaniah, okay? Because I've heard so many things that people attributed to the scriptures that simply aren't there. Now, some of you listening may have learned things at a Bible college. Others may have read a book by a Christian psychologist or Christian counselor. You may have gone to a seminar. You may have been to several counselors who have told you their theories, and might be Christian counselors at that, Christian psychologists. And more often than not, you've heard utopianic theories of this subject, and you heard it even while you were growing up, even before marriage entered into your thinking, especially if you grew up in a Christian home, and especially if you had people that would sit around and act as authorities on the subject. Now, in the final analysis, you must see this one truth that underlies all truths on this subject. So I want you to write this verse down if you've got pencil and paper, because I believe that it's very important in this study. And that is in Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, in short, we're being told, if not everyone believes, in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, what you're saying, does that make the faith of God, that is the body of Bible doctrine, without effect? Well, let's think that through logically. There are many people today that do not believe in a hell. So does that mean there is not a literal hell, place of fire and brimstone, and the doctrine is without effect? Oh, no. 1,000 times no. There is a hell, and people may refuse to believe it. They may refuse Christ the Savior. But there's going to come a day when they will believe in hell, and it'll be too late and that'll be their destiny for eternity, never being able to cease to exist. And so often, deprived of our theories and philosophies, cause people to block out the truth of God's word. But that doesn't change it. Has been of no effect, because God's going to keep his promise. To me, God says there's a hell, then let every man be a liar, and let God be true, and you act on what God says. Isn't that what Noah did? Didn't Noah do that? He acted on what God said, although most all the world laughed at him. But who came out of the flood? Now, I want to illustrate that one must take in the whole counsel of God on a subject, especially one that we're to embark upon as this. Because so many people try to make the scriptures of private interpretation. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, this tells us a couple things. First of all, for anybody to write scripture, they had to be holy people. Just couldn't be intellectual people. It could not be just well-educated people. They had to be holy men. Some were farmers. Remember, Peter wrote and John wrote. But when they're before the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5, they took note of them. They were ignorant and unlearned men. But they're the men God used to write some of the New Testament scriptures. We also need to understand that the Word of God is God-breathed. In other words, every word of the Bible is from the Holy Spirit of God. So again, there is not a verse in the Bible that is in contradiction to another verse in the Bible. When you think there is, that means that your understanding of a passage is wrong. You see, the Bible has been put together, you might say, by the divine engineer. It is God's Word, the Holy Spirit. Now look, if God can make a great universe like this, and he did, well, he can not only inspire the Word of God, he can preserve it, and he has. So, this whole Bible is put together over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors that were used to pen the words. Now, they weren't authors in that they created the Bible, only that they were responsible that the words were put into print. But the Holy Spirit gave each of them every word, not just some of the words, not just the thoughts. No, the Holy Spirit of God gave the authors of each one every word. The words weren't written according to their personality. The words were written according as the Holy Spirit gave them, because the Holy Spirit of God had a purpose in every word that is the Word of God. So these men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And if they weren't holy men, there would be a tendency to corrupt the Word of God. Now, having said that, that helps us to understand a little bit better Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And there we're told that the people at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Now, when I say they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so, who was it they were listening to? Paul. Now, if the Holy Spirit puts it in Paul's heart, every word to say the people of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica to search the scriptures to see if those things were so, and Paul is the one that's preaching, then that tells me that if they're supposed to search the scriptures, even if it's Paul preaching, then certainly, folks, that you that are listening to me, just don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures. I am not even close to being an Apostle Paul. So don't take just my word. Well, pastor wouldn't tell us wrong on anything. It's not that I wouldn't tell you wrong. It's that I'm a man and I can be wrong. So always, always, whether it's me, whether it's the pastor in your local church, whatever, don't just assume they're right. Just don't assume they're wrong. Check the scriptures. Search the scriptures. See if the things they say are true. Now, consider this example from the Word of God. And again, in this first part, we're looking at the Word of God because the Word of God has to be the basis for any doctrine because doctrine comes from the Word of God. Now, let's think of this example from the Scriptures, and that's the best examples you can use are scriptural examples. In Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 44, and in Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through 17, and again in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 12, we have the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, all 3 of those passages I just gave you, Mark, Luke, and John, all say 5,000 without mentioning at all women and children. However, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, it says this, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." Now imagine I say, well, I believe what these others wrote, but not necessarily what Matthew wrote. The other 3, John and Mark and Luke, wrote 5,000 men. And they didn't say beside women and children. So those 3 are right and Matthew's wrong. Oh, no. Matthew just includes what the Holy Spirit didn't tell Mark and Luke and John to include. Okay, every word was God-breathed. Now, if you disagree with it, then that shows something. You do not believe that all Scripture is God-breathed. And what the writer has written there as the words from the Holy Spirit of God, be it Moses, Paul, David, Amos, Joel, or whoever, Peter. You're saying they wrote their own thoughts, showing we believe not all the Bible is God-breathed. Now, you can't interpret part of it that contradicts another part of the Bible. The Bible is of utmost importance to we as Christians.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible says.